are forbidden to take away, he has to give Pishnayim to the Tchor, and he's forbidden to arrange to take away the Pishnayim from the Tchor. Lo yuchol avakir zbenu ha'uva ha'pnei ben asno ha'tchor, kis ha'tchor ben asno yakir lo tishlo Pishnayim. The Ramban, in the Hasogis to the Sefer Mitzvot, where Rambam claims that this is one of the Taryag Mitzvot. The Rambam lists off the Ramach Mitzvot, and the Shechon Mitzvot, and the Ramban has Hasogis. He disagrees with several of the mitzvahs that the Rambam counted. He deletes them and then he replaces them with other mitzvahs. And the Hashmata from the end of the Minyan Ho'esim, and the Hashmata the end of the Minyan Alav, he says that the Yuchal Avakir should be counted as Alav, and the Tachor Ben Asnu Yakir, Yakir should be counted as a mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah incumbent on the father to see to it that his crow gets Tishnayim. And it's an Avera for him to cheat the Pchor out of the Bishnah. The first Achayshin quotes this Ramban and Simon Reish Payalot, this part now of the Hilcha Tzivusha, and he asks against the Ramban that it seems to be contradicted by the Gemara. The Gemara in Perkish Nerflin, yes, Gemara has a Machlekes Rebunin of Hakamim. What do you derive from the Pasuk Yakir, the Pchor Ben Asno Yakir? What does that teach us? So there is a Machlekes Hatanaim, is the father Nehmet to say, Yaki Yaki Ren Alachem is a father believed to say that one of my children is a mamza. One of my children is a Beni Mishma Chalutz. So we didn't think so. We didn't think the child is a mamza. To the best of our knowledge, this child is not a cholol. He married before he married and he should shave on the kuna. And then one fine day, the father makes a statement, you should know that this child is not my child, he's a mamza. My wife is mazana with somebody else. So there's a machloek satanai whether the father is Neman or not. Did you say that the father is Neman? So that's derived in that part, he's Yaki Ren Alachem. If you hold that the father is not believed in the area of Israel, he's only believed to say that this son is the poor for the purposes of getting Tishnayim. The Gemara said, what do you need a pasuk for to teach me that the father is believed to determine to be Mevara who the poor is? Is that the other? Whenever I control all the money, I have the money in my pocket. I didn't die yet. So if I want, I can give you the Tishnayim now, and I can give all the others one share. But I don't want to give it now. If I want to wait till after I die, then you should get Tishnayim now. So the Gemara says, so it's the other. Whenever it's the other, so it's Echor, even though he's a part of his belief. Father, even though he's related to all the children, even though he's only at Echor, normally in the Gemara, you need two kosher aids in him, but whenever it's the other, so the Gemara says, the other is a second of money. So the Gemara says, Hedron, Dach Lama Emra. And above Basu also in Perkei Shnechim. The Gemara has a sugya. Baal Shama Gerash, this Tishnayim, because the other Lagarsha. Even though he's only eight echod, and he's a korev, he's related to his wife, and he's related to himself, and the issue is one of them should be erevor to determine whether the woman was misgarsha or not, but still the halacha says that eight echod, when it's the other, he controls the situation. He can give the get right now bal korcha shaloisha. But since the other lagarsha achshav, so he's neman to say that girashti is the Gemara asks the kasha, what do you need a pasuk yakir? That the father is believed to say who the kor is, to ascertain who the kor is. We would have known on our own based on the principle of the other. But to this, the Gemara answers no. It's only the other for the money that he has in his pocket now. He's going to die in another 50 years, let's say. He's only 20 years old. He's going to die at the age of 70. So what about all the money that he's going to gain in the future? So that money is at the present time, and Avashaloi Baliyodim. And Avashaloi Baliyodim is not the other to make any kinyon. So that's why I need a Pasuk Yakir that he believes to say that this son is a Chod. And the Gemara says, what if you hold like Reb Meir? That the makna davar shlo bali yoylam, so he can even be makna the money that he's going to get in the next 50 years. So since it's biyado there too, so what do you mean the pasuk yaki yaki ben alachem? The father has no manus to say who's the core. He would have known again on our own that it's biyado. So you shouldn't really need a xeris hakasuk. Mar says no, that even according to Reb Meir, there are sometimes the davar shlo bali yoylam that he will admit to the chachamim that he cannot be makna, namely the nefas mishenatu lo kishahu goseis. If the father, let's say, before he's going to die, he's going to be in a coma for a couple of months, but is still kafai, he's not dead yet. If the father will earn money, let's say, earn money from his business or whatever income he's going to get at that time, he's in a state of graces, at that time he will not be ordered to be makna. Even though now he wants to be makna for lachas man, for some strange reason or another, the Rishonim have a whole dispute why, the Gemara doesn't say the reason why. The Gemara says, since at that time he will not be a bar das, when he's a ghost, so therefore now he's unable to be makna for Lachas Man, the Dovah Shalom Baliyodim is going to get at the time that he won't be able to be makna. So the Gemara explains why we need a Pasuk of Yakir. So the Ksei says, what do you see from the Gemara? That Yakir is not a chiyuv, not that Yakir is a mitzvah, that the father is obligated to see to it that the Pchor gets the Tishnayim. The Torah says the Pchor gets Tishnayim. If after the father dies, the Yerushim don't give him the Tishmam, so they're Ganav, they violate Eloi Sigzel. But it's not the father's obligation to see to it that the Kor gets Tishmam. Yaakov is a din nemonis, the father is believed. If he says who the Kor is, we believe him. And the Gemara says, why in the world do you need a pasuk? Of course he's believed. It's Biyodai. The Gemara says either it's not Biyodai, even in the nemonis, or in the area of Isidahatar, he believes. So they say sign is against the Ramban, that everything that he says is against the Gemara. There is no such obligation on the father. That's what Ritzko Honan writes also. There's a Chula Sefer called Mate Levi, it was written by the Rav of Frankfurt. After Rav Shlomo Breuer passed away, so there was a fight we should take over the Rabbanus in Frankfurt. And the Auschwitz community, and Hirsch's community. So they were all machloikas, so they didn't give it to Rav Shlomo Breuer's son, they gave it to, they imported a Rav. So they had the Bundesdorfer, the importer of the Hungarian Rome. So they had this Rabbi Horowitz was appointed the rabbi of the Breuer's community in Frankfurt. The one who was here, the rabbi, Rabbi Breuer, was the head of the yeshiva there. He was never the Rav in Frankfurt. The Rav at that time was this of Mordechai Horowitz. So he has a very nice Jew. It's called Matze Levi, very interesting Jew. So because he wasn't himself a Yekki, he was an Ungarish, so he has to this day, he wrote to all the big rabbanim in the world, like everybody else. The German rabbanim weren't so, didn't have such ksharim with the Litvische, with the Galiciana, with the Ungarish. But he himself wasn't Ungarish. So he wrote Bir Halacha in Hilchas Tishnayim to Rav Yitzchok Hanan, who answered him back. So Yitzchok also writes like that. He thinks that the Ramban is a teller. How can he say such a thing? That there's a mitzvah. Yakir is a mitzvah that the father has the obligation to see to it that the Chor gets the Tishnayim. He has to see to it that he gets Tishnayim. It's not his mitzvah, the children. If they'll cheat the Kor from the Tishnayim, they'll violate those people. It's not the father's mitzvah. Then he says, well, maybe the father should write it into the will for a different reason, not based on the mitzvah of Yakir. He thinks that there is no such mitzvah, doesn't exist, and Ramban is wrong. But he says, based on a different thing, Lakusha Neisura. If I know that after I die, I'm going to leave fortunes of money, and all the children are going to be fighting, they're going to be killing each other over the Yerusha. If you leave a lot of money, it's going to be a fight. And I know that they're going to try to cheat the Kor out of getting the Tishnayim. And if I have it in my power to see to it that they will not cheat my Kor, namely, by writing it into the secular will, so the secular government will see to it that the Kor gets the Tishnayim, as my wishes were. If I have it in my power to secure the Tishnayim in the hands of the Kor, and to prevent an act of Zela, the Abadala Fushim Yitzurah, there's a din. You always have to do that. If I see somebody in the yeshiva, somebody in the community who's a machal shabbos, who's a murderer, who's a cheat on income tax, of course I have a mitzvah to go over and tell him, hey, that's not nice to kill the other guy, that's not nice to cheat on income tax, it's not nice to do machal shabbos. And to try to be machal people from me too. Or let's say if I have the ability without speaking to him, I can prevent him from doing that very behind the scenes. I can make a tzavor in a secular court in such a way that he will be unable to cheat, the other brothers will be unable to cheat the court from getting the Tishnayim. Half, the government will force them to give the Tishnayim. So that's Givaldik. Why do I have to go talk my kishkis out to all the children? After I die, make sure you give the Tishnayim to the court and don't violate the other Lysigma. Go to your lawyer and make out a will. So they'll be preventing from violating Lysigma. So Bitzko Hanan Lamaisa agrees with the Ramban. The father has the obligation to make a will in which he stresses, in which he specifies, secular will, that the government will respect, to speak to it that the Kor is not cheated of the Tishnayim, but he says to be Tamacha. He thinks that it's not, that the father has a mitzvah of Yakir, he doesn't think there is such a mitzvah, he thinks it's a different mitzvah, the mitzvah of Aparusha Meisur, Achech Tachich, to prevent people from violating Aver. The only question is, you have to determine exactly how much is the Tishnayim going to turn out to be. So the Gemara has it in that the Kor only is entitled to Tishnayim, Mechol Asheyi Matzila. It's a Kor ben Asnoa Yake, Lasla Tishnayim, Mechol Asheyi Matzila. Tishnayim, the Gemara says, doesn't mean that it gets two-thirds. That's what the conservatives have this whole hang-up. We see from the Talmud that the rabbis were always changing the laws, and in the Bible it says that the firstborn son is entitled to two-thirds of the of property, and the rabbis in the Talmud thought that it's no good. The Kor is getting two-thirds. Let's say the families were very big in the days of the Talmud, so the guy has 10 children, the Kor gets two-thirds. And the other 9 sons, let's say, have to divide the 1/3, so they get mamish pupkis. But the conservatives say that the rabbis changed the din. The Gemara doesn't assume that they would change again. The Gemara understands that Tishnayim always meant, from the day of Maimon Hasina, from the day that Ban Shalom gave the Torah, the word Tishnayim meant that he gets as if he's 2 sons. That the man has 10 sons, and one is a Kor, they divide the Yerusha into 11 portions, and they get to 11. If he has five sons, but then you divide the Yerusha into 6 portions, and he gets 2 6. He gets 2 shares, as if he were 2 sons. Doesn't mean Pishnai means 2/3. They prove, the conservatives prove, that the word Pishnai means 2/3, and it doesn't mean 2 shares, double portion, from Elisha, that when Eliyahu Novi was about to go up to heaven, so he made a request of the Rebbe. He said that they should give me Pishnaim Beruchacha. I should get Pishnaim of your prophecy, of your Kerach HaNevuah. So Eliyahu Novi said, if you'll be present when they take me up to heaven, and you see when they take me up, so then your request will be fulfilled. The parashah in Malachim, the Sefer Malachim. And if you won't be present, you won't see when they take me up to heaven, then your request will not be fulfilled. So he was present, and his request was fulfilled. So what do you mean his request was fulfilled? So what does it mean, Pishnaim? So the conservatives say, what do you mean? He had the chutzpah to say that he wants to be twice as great a prophet as Eliyahu Novi. Obviously he's asking, give me a bracha, I should be 2/3 as great as you. I should be 2/3 as great as the rest. So 2/3 makes sense. So from there is a raya, a 2/3, a pishnai means 2/3, and a mail on the chumash means 2/3, and the rabbis changed the din. Just like you can change the din here, you can change the din all over. Yeah? Even if this would be the case that they changed the din, it just proves that you can change the din and dini mamanis. The Gemara says that also, you can change the din and dini mamanis because hefka doesn't hefka. The Gemara says that hilchos Yerusha can be changed because hefka doesn't have to. Gemara has a machlokes satanam, and a bal yosef pishtoi is a din deraisa or a din derabbanon. So the Gemara asks the Yivamis, if it's only a din derabbanon, how can they change the din deraisa? But the Gemara says that isa nechasim, the Gemara tzuvah dafnim days, isa nechasim is a din derabbanon. The Gemara says Rabbin Indichman is a din derabbanon, tzuvah ben Indichman is a din derabbanon. The Gemara says, how can it be that the din deraisa says one way and the rabbanon are changing the din deraisa? So the Gemara says, yeah, hefka bezna hefka, come to din mamas. Just because they can change the, even if that were the case that they changed the Hilchos Yerusha, it doesn't show that the rabbis today have the ability to encourage the Balabatim to drive to Shul on Shabbos because Yesh Kehat HaChacham V'Makadov V'Natayra. There is no such thing. There's the Kumbi Yaseh, there's the Shevi Al-Tasa, there's the Bimamas, there's the Sidahet, there are different categories, the whole Sugi Yivamas, that's Peitez, that's that. Anyway, but the Gemara holds that the whole Pshat is wrong. That Be'eliyo HaNavi, the Gemara says also that he wanted double Kehach HaNavuah. Elisha Navi asked for chutzpah, they can request. He asked for twice the Kerach HaNevuah of Eliyahu Navi. And then the Gemara says that his request was fulfilled in the sense that Eliyahu Navi was once Mechaya one mace and Elisha was Mechaya two mace. That's how the Gemara says. And the word Pishnaim doesn't mean 2/3, the word Pishnaim means double. So by Elisha means he had twice the Kerach HaNevuah in one little area. In the area of the aspect of Pishnaim mace, he had double the Kerach of Eliyahu Navi. And here by Yerusha, the Gemara understands that Pishnaim means two portions, means that there are 10 sons, that the Kor gets, you divide it into 11 shares, and the Kor gets 2 11. That's the Pshat Tishnai. So the Pasuk says, Kesabcho ben Aston Yaka Lechva Tishnai, Mechol Asher Yimotze Lo. So the Gemara Darshan is on the word, Mechol Asher Yimotze, the Mukhzok, Golo Berotwi. What if the father at the time of his death only had $1 million? And after the father dies, then the father gains more money. How does he gain money after he dies? Let's say his father dies. Nichse di Avu di Abba. The grandfather dies after the father dies. So the father at the time of his death, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So let's say Yitzchak has two sons, Yankov and Yitzchak. So let's say Yankov is a b'chor. Let's say that Yankov is a b'chor, so he's entitled to Tishnai. So at the time, let's make believe that at the time that Yitzchak dies, he's only a millionaire. And after Yitzchak dies, then Avram Avinu dies, so then Yitzchak yarshins b'kever, l'hanchel abonos, the first time he wishes his children. Then after he dies, he turns into a multimillionaire b'kever. Becomes a multimillionaire, he gets the whole Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. So the Gemara says that Yaakov, the Kor, will not get Tishnayim, and Nichse de Avu de Abba, because that's called Roi, and the Kor only gets the Luch. Fine, that's one kind of Roi. That's Roi, that's Luchol Adela. That the Kor doesn't get Tishnayim. Then the Gemara has a Machlekes in Bava Basa, Kuf Chavdala, there's another kind of Roi. What if the father had loaned Halvois to people while he was alive, and they didn't pay up the Chavis until after the father died? So there's a machlokes, Rebbe and Chachamim. Is that called Roy or is that called Mukhzot? Because they're only paying back the money that the father had lent them while he was alive, so the father had the money. But on the other hand, at the time that he died, he didn't have access to the money. Maybe it should be called Mukhzot. Maybe it should be called Roy. Maybe it should be called Mukhzot. So the Gemara has a machlokes, and we pass from that too is called Roy. That Halvois are called Roy. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I should make a distinction. Who did you lend the money to? Did you lend the money to Anochri? Did you lend money to Ayisro? You lend the money to Anochri. That it says in the Sefer Tehillim, Ashapir Diba Shavimimim Shoker, he may never pay back the money, who knows if he'll ever, if he can kiss the money goodbye. So that's called Ra'ui. Who knows if you're ever going to get the money back? So if you lent the money to a Yisrael, talk not an honest Yeshiva guy, he wouldn't cheat anybody, so of course he's going to pay back the money. Maybe that money should be called Mukhzot, The Gemara says nothing doing doesn't matter. Loishna if it's a mevul bishtar, loishna it's a mevul balpeh, loishna he lent the money to a crook, loishna he lent the money to an honest person, to a Yisrael, to a nachri. Every halvavi paskin halacha is considered ro'oi, and of course does not get tishna. And now the shaila is, if every halvavi is considered ro'oi, so what if I have all of my money in a savings account? So if you have your money in a safe deposit vault and the dollar bills are sitting there, or some people have their money in their mattresses stuffed under their pillows, so that's mamash muchzok. The money, the cash, the hard cash is sitting around now. But if you don't have the money sitting in a safe deposit vault, you put the money in a CD account, you put the money in a savings account. What does it mean? So the bank doesn't have to hold on to your dollar bill. The bank takes it as a halvor, and they're going to give you back to Karen with the ribbons. They promise to pay ribbons. So that's mamash a halvor. And they invest the money and they make a fortune. And then they pay you back, you're carrying with the ribbons. The Sachar Shaila, should that be considered, let's say you have government bonds. I lend money to the government, they're going to pay me back, depending how long I leave the money in the hands of the government, that'll determine how much interest I'm going to get. So the Nodeb Yehuda has a tshuva about this. The machlek is between the Shoyl and the Nodeb Yehuda. The Shoyl thought that the government bonds should be considered mukhzor. Government? The government is going to default on the money. If the government collapses, so everything goes kaput. So what should I call that roi? I heard that should be certain for mukhzor. And then if Yehuda writes in the Shuvah, he doesn't think that it's so. The halacha says that every halvor, the Gemara says, loishna Yisrael, loishna Achim, loishna Lubu Bishtar, loishna Lubu Alpeh, loishna Lubu Loibizanis, or Bishanis. Every halvor is called roi, so it's roi. So that's one part of that's the other part of the tshuva that the Matei Levi has. Matei Levi writes about that, and Abiyat Kohana writes back in his tshuva thing. They discuss, and here the Aruch HaShulchan has like that, and Reisha and Ches, and Sif Yud Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan. Torah Shalom Aluchah. What if you have a government, bond? Is that considered roi, is that considered no? So the pashtus is that we assume that all halvoros are considered roi. That's our pashtus. It's not because you run certain as to where they're going to collect back the money. Even if it's 100% secure, and all of the money you have in your savings account and your CD account is federally insured, of mamish the money was loaned to the government, federal bond, so the pashtus is that we assume that all of this is called roi. I was told in the name of Moshe Feinstein, I don't know if it appears in his story, I was told by one of the Talmidim that he held not so. He held halacha like the Shoyl and the Nodeb Yehuda's Tshuvos, that not only the Karen, let's say I put in $1 million in the bank and it's getting interest, and not only is $1 million called Muchzok, even that amount of the interest that I never had, I put the money in the bank 10 years ago. So even the amount of interest that I could have collected before, on the day that I died, if I would go to the bank, yeah, if I would go to the government and want to redeem the bonds, they would give me so much money, they wouldn't give me any hassle. Even though legally speaking, according to the bylaws of the bank, according to the contract that it says in the bank, that I think they're not mukhiyah to give you the money, they have a right to wait 30 days. But Lamai said, they're not going to wait 30 days, they're going to give you the cash right away, they're not going to give you a hard time. So I was told that Ramosha held that in such a situation, not only the Karen is considered muhzor, even the ribbis that had accumulated up until the time that the father died, that if he would have gone in to collect it, he could have easily collected. No one's going to give him a hard time, that's called roi. And only the interest that accumulates later is considered muhzor. Or if you have a private loan, if you loan money to a private firm or to a private individual, so then the Gemara says that's called roi. But money loaned to the bank, that if you go in, they'll give it to you right away. They have money in the bank, or the government bond. I was told that Rav Moshe held that that's called muhzor. So that's a shayla l'halacha. When a person that it's called muhzor against the way it's generally, I think it's generally.
It's worth money. It's worth money. You can call anybody and trade money. So
you can say this. You can say that the bond itself is a shove kesef.
Yeah,
the bond itself is a shove kesef.
What's the shares? Shares
are people. I mean, a person has shares in a corporation.
Shares in the giant stock exchange.
Right. So the pashtus is that he's a shutuf. The pashtus is that the shares means that he's a shutuf in that business. So that goes being
mushed.
There should be mukhzor. There should be more mukhzor.
There should be more raya than any else. Because if you take a look at what we've gone through in this country in the last year alone, some of the shares have gone down by 40-50%, and some have gone up.
Yeah, let's say I have a tape recorder in my house that belongs to me. So that's mamish mukhzor. I said, what if tomorrow the value of tape recorders goes down? Instead of being worth $25, now it's worth $1. So that's called roi. No, I have the tape recorder mamish here. If I have shares in a corporation, I own that bylaws. I'll be pashtus. I own that bylaws. If the Shabbos goes up or the Shabbos goes down, so that's the way anything. Let's say the father leaves property, karkam, talton. The value always fluctuates, goes up, goes down. The only shaila is, what's the getter hadin of shares? That was a big dispute in Europe, whether we should consider shares as truly considered as a shutfis, that the father owns part of the business, so that goes be rushed to the children. That's mamash muhzub. Should we say that shares just means I have a schus to make money on the deal? So if it's a schus to get money, it's not that I really own a shutfis in the business, so then it might be that it's considered the roi. It's a good question. I don't know. So Lamaisa Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan is masking with the Ramban, that it's incumbent upon the father that he should make a tzavur, and then he goes into the details of exactly what should he write into the tzavur. He should include that he's giving Yerusha to all of the children according to what they're entitled to get, and he has to include also that the poor should get to Tishnai, not so much the mitzvah of Yakir. He doesn't think that such a mitzvah exists. He thinks that the Ramban is wrong in interpreting the pasuk Yakir means that he's obligated to, because the Gemara understands Yakir in the sense that he's Nemon, he's the leaf to establish who the poor is, but rather because of Achrusha Meisu. And the Sefer Chaim of Rochman Mishmer Shalom, which is a very good Sefer that some you should be familiar with, it's a Sefer written by one of the Goinim from 80 years ago, all of the Hilchas Yerusha, all of the Hilchas Avelas, arranged alphabetically Alpi Aleph Beis. And he has another sefer called also Chaim Avraham Mishmer Shalom. He originally wrote a sefer Mishmer Shalom, it's a commentary on the Prima Gadam on Yerodein. Today in our yeshiva, not too many people study the Prima Gadam, but in Europe, the Prima Gadam was studied by everybody. Everybody learned the Prima Gadam, so they needed a commentary on Prima Gadam. So that's, he made history by writing his Mishmer Shalom. And then after that, everybody recognized him as one of the Goinei HaGoinim. So then Rav Chaim Briskin, Yor Samech, and many others gave him, and the Marsham, many others gave him a haskama on his two little svarim. And the Chaim Rav Mishmar Sham on Hilchas Dalad Minim, where he has all of the dinim of Lulav and Esrog alphabetically arranged. And every sefer that's put out today, on Hilchas Dalad Minim always quotes what he has to say, because he quotes, he's a Baki Nifkam. So he quotes all of the kids from all of Rishonim, from all our friends, from all over the place. And the same in this sefer on Hilchas Avelos Alpi Alephim. This one is printed in the back of the gigantic Yerodeus, the very expensive Yerodeus, that is from the end of the third Chelik Yerodeus, the whole sefer. So here under Ois Tzadik, under Tzavor, he quotes from the Achronim that the proper thing is that when a person reaches the age of 50, he should start making a Tzavor, as the Pasuk and the Remez is the Pasuk, Vishnasa Yavel Azosto Shuvu Isha Lachuzosa, when a person reaches the age of 50, Vishnasa Yavel, he should start thinking of Toshuvu Isha Lachuzosa, returning back to his Maker. And he should write a tzavor. What should he write in the tzavor? So he should write how they should bury him and so on. And he should write how much money they should give to tzedakah after he dies. And he writes the significance of giving tzedakah and so on. That's a little bit what should be included in the tzavor. The question is, what tokif does this tzavor have? Fine, you should write a tzavor. So if all he writes in the tzavor is that I have five sons, and one son is a poor, and the poor should get 2/6, and each of the others should get 1/6, there's no problem. What it says in Chumash, Yakir, everything wonderful. What if he decides he wants to give his uncle, he wants to give this yeshiva, he wants to give the UJA, he wants to give the Federation, he wants to give the Israeli bond. He writes a whole bunch of things what he wants to give. So all of that has tokef. That's all included in the din of tzavor. Where is this din of tzavor? Where does it say? So the Mishnah says in Bava Basu, Kuf Lamed Amar Aleph, that there is a din of tzavor there, right? So it says in Chumash, V'hoyo b'yom hanchila is bana b'esa sheyihi alo. So the fact that it's the Yom Achilah is Bono, so you see the Tana in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yechon Ben Brochi says in that Mishnah, Kuflan of an Aleph, HaTera Nasnu Mishuth La'av La'han Chalachol Mishi Yirtzeh. What do you mean Yom Achilah is Bono? Guy dies in the middle, his money goes to Yerusha, he's not Man Chilah Bani. Nifta Pifta, he dies. After he dies, so the money goes to Yerusha, to the children. What kind of a Lashon Hanchilah is Bono? So the Mishnah implies, the Pasuk implies, he has Hatar Nasnu Shus Lav Lahan Chalachom Mishiyut. He has the right to make a tzavor to administer the money where he wants. So that's the institution of tzavor is derived in that post.
How do we take Tishnai? First look at all the money that he has, and then take divide it up into Tishnai. So then first take off the UJA and the Federation, and then we remain, and then we.
First, you have to take off what's not going Beirusha. Yeah. Whatever is not Beirusha doesn't count. One question is how. How binding is this tzavor that he wants to give to tzedakah? That's what we have to discuss. Right. Has to be b'taras kinyan. Whatever he gives to others has to be b'taras kinyanim. And the only time you get pishnayim, you get pishnayim from the chilek that goes b'yirush. You have to figure out what's going b'yirush and what's going to matam.
Something goes against the
So the question is, what do you mean Haperot Nosna Rishus Lavla An Chol Chomish Yirtze? I can write into my will, I want to give to my dear cousin, and I have an uncle, and I have a son-in-law, I want to give him more money because he sits and he learns and whatever. Exactly what are the limits over here? So the Mishnah and the Gemara have it very restricted. Very, very restricted. This din of Rabbi Yechon ben Berakhia, the Mishnah Kuf Lamed and Aleph, is very restricted. First of all, the Gemara says it only applies when a fellow is a Shechid Meirah. Hoya B'yom Anchila Hazbanav does not apply when he's a Bari, when the guy is 50 years old. My sister-in-law told me a couple of years ago that when her father-in-law was a big Rosh Hashiva, when her father-in-law reached the age of 50, she said he made a Tavor. So she thought it was horrifying. Why? He's planning to die? He's already in his 70s now. Why was he planning to die? Why didn't he make a tzavor? So I told her that it says in Achrayna like that. When you reach the age of 50, you're supposed to make a tzavor, even though you're perfectly healthy. So the shayla is, but the Gemara says that it has no tokef. The Gemara says means on that day as a halpai shtar. Doesn't mean he's a ghost day, but it means that he's a shchid meira. We know that there is a din dibe shchid meira kiksuvim v'chimisturim dama. That's only a din med the rabbanot. That's not a din med the That's a din med the rabbanot. He says like this: I'm a shchid meira, and I have sons and I have daughters, and I say that the tape recorder and the furniture and the building and whatever I have, all the svarim, give it to Pliny and Gamson, a different person. So that's only a takon of the rabbanon, the kiksuvim v'chimisturim dama. But if I say the din ben rabbanon, I have five daughters and three sons, so the din is only the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get the Yerusha. If I have no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. So I pick out from the sons, so the din is, and none of my sons are poor, my firstborn is a daughter. So I have three sons, if you divide, I have $1 million, but let's make it easy, I have $3 million, and I have, teaching Yud is only it, I have $3 million, and I have three sons, so each son gets $1 million. So if I say, well, one son seems to be more interested in learning than the other, the guy's going to go into business, he's going to make his own $25 million. This guy's going to sit and learn, he's not going to make so much money. Instead of giving $1 million to each son, I want to give $2 million to one son, and the other million should be divided among the other two sons. So that's what Rabbi Yechon Breikis says. The Yom HaNchilu is Bono Beisa Shiyah Lo. HaNchil Nosh Mishus La'av LaHanchil L'chol Mishayirtz is not exactly L'chol Mishayirtz of the Lashon. The Mishnah says Ben Ben Abanim or Baz Ben Abanim. So if he has three sons, so they should really each get equally. So I say, no, I want that he should get more. So I have a right to do that. I have, let's say, I have no sons, let's say I would only have five daughters. So I have a right to say, instead of the five daughters dividing equally, this daughter should get much more than the others because she's married to a Tamakov. So I want her, he's going to need more money. His money is going to be used for better purposes. So that I have a right to do, but if I have five daughters and three sons, I can't say I want the daughters to get equal Yerusha with the son. The daughters are not allowed to get a penny of the Yerusha now, so I can't expand on it. The Mishnah says explicitly, it only applies to Ben Ben Abanim, or Baz Ben Abanim, if the daughters are first in line to get the Yerusha. I can't give to a cousin, or to a friend, or to any outsider. And the Gemara expands, limits it further on Kuplam and Aleph. And the Gemara says that the Tzava only works when the fellow is a Shchid Meira. That's Hakona the Rabbanim, Dibbe Shchid Meira. Tiksuv and the Chimisurin Dome was instituted called the Tikkur Rabbanon, came the rice of Tikkun. It's patterned after a din derais a little bit. I know this din derais of Rabbi Yechon ben Berakhia that we passed him like, that on the day that the father is a Shchimer, a Shchimer doesn't mean it's a Geisus. Geisus means that his mamish, his death is imminent within the next 3 days. That's how it's described in the Shulchan Aruch. As long as that we have ghosts and things who live on machines, live on respirators and whatever, with oxygen, so they live longer than 3 days. But theoretically, the Gemara says, the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch says that a ghost cannot live for more than 3 days. The Shchimerah means a person who is mutal l'mishka. No, this is a din deraisa. Dibre Shchimerah is only a takana de rabbana. This is a real din deraisa. So this din deraisa, the din rabbana is an extension of this din deraisa. The din deraisa. Bein ben rabbana. Bein ben rabbana. Bein ben rabbana. So let's say he has no children at all, but and his closest relatives are cousins. He has 8 cousins, one over there, 3 in Israel, whatever. So he can say, I want to leave all the Yerusha to that cousin. I want to leave half the Yerusha to that. Instead of leaving 1/8 to each one of the 8 cousins, he says, I want to leave half of the Yerusha, a third of the Yerusha. So that's, if the, whoever is in line to get Yerusha, then cover, of course, I can say, I want him to get a little more. But that's Rabbi Yechon ben Berakhia's deal. So Davke Bein Ben Abanim, if he's in line to get a Yerusha, he can make him get more than he should have been entitled to, and it's only when he's a Shchid Meira. But if the guy's not a Shchid Meira and makes the Tzavor, like the Chaim said, at the age of 50, he's not hoping by dying at all. He's not even sick, Mutar Mishka. Or he wants to give to a duck, he wants to give to a friend, or a distant relative, a cousin, not someone who's in line to get Yerusha. Anyway, so the Mishnah, the din of Tzavor, the Raisa will not apply. So the question is, how is it binding at all? If the fellow happens to be a Shechid Meira and he makes a tzavoy that he wants to give to some extraneous person, okay, so then you have the takon of the Rabban. The Shechid Meira, Kiksuv and Chimsur and Dom, everything goes. But people don't wait to make their will till a Shechid Meira. They make the will before the age of 50. Now the lawyers recommend you make the will before the age of 50. Because of other reasons. Because of the custody of the children. Who's going to raise the children and so on. You have to write in your will, young people who have children have to write in their will, whom, if and when they die, whom they want to raise the children. Otherwise the state's going to decide which yeshiva to send them to. Who knows, any yeshiva necessarily. So the question is, if the fellow doesn't make the will, then he's a Shechid Meira, and neither the Din D'Oraisa nor the Din D'Rabbanan applies. So maybe at times should the will have any tokef whatsoever? Shouldn't have any tokef at all. So the answer is, well, there's another Din. The Gemara has a Din mitzvah l'kaya in Divrei Ames. Mitzvah l'kam divrei ames applies, certainly applies in the area of dinam amos. The question is whether it applies in other areas. Let's say I say to my son, look, ingala, after I die, make sure I want you to learn maseches chagiga for the first yard sign. That's not meaning I have to learn maseches chagiga for the first yard sign. So after I die, the kid decides, doesn't learn maseches chagiga. He wants to learn baba basra. He wants to learn makas, whatever, big or small. He wants to learn mishnayos, whatever. So that's a big deal in Akron. Do you apply mitzvah l'kam divrei ames to anything outside of dinim ominous? Because the Gemara, you only have it in the area of dinim ominous. And the Midrashim comment when Yankif was about to die and he left the Tzavoy that you shouldn't bury me in Mitzrayim, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So the Midrash says, Nikan shem mitzvah l'kam divrei ames. So that Midrash implies that you say mitzvah l'kam divrei ames on anything that's within reason. Look, God's going to say, after I die, go shoot the administrators of the Yeshiva University and burn down the building. And of course, you don't say mitzvah kam divrei ames. If he has something reasonable that has a shaychus with him. But then in Amnes, that's clear in the Gemara, that you apply mitzvah kam divrei ames. So usually it's assumed that when a person makes a tzavoy before he's a Shechid Meira, it's not binding based on the din d'oraisa of tzavoy, of hater nosam shus la'avraham. So it's not binding based on the din of divrei Shechid Meira, but it's binding based on mitzvah l'kam divrei ames. The problem is that Tosfos says not so. Tosfos in Gittin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph has kashis. If you say there's a din of mitzvah l'kam divrei ames, it's the Mishnah in Gittin is difficult, and there's a Morris and Baal Basra that is difficult. The Morris says that people said, after I die, give the money to so on, give the money to this one, to that one. So what was the problem? Why don't they just say mitzvah l'kam divrei ames? So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan that you only apply this klal mitzvah l'kam divrei ames if it's hushlash mitchila l'kaf biyad sholosh. Things like this, hushlash mitchila l'kaf biyad shovash. I have $1 million in my pocket. Not that I have the money in the bank and I tell you that if and when I die, give $1 million to this person because he wants to open up a new yeshiva and buy a tikkun. I give you $1 million now. I don't want to give him $1 million because I may live on for another 220 years. So I want to use the money. I give you $1 million now and I say, this is my money. In case I die, I give the money to Pliny that he should make a yeshiva there. In case I don't die, you give me back the money every year when I ask you for the money. So the hushlash mitchila lekach biyad sholosh, sholosh means a third party whom I trust. Hanodim namar. If I mashlish the money mitchila lekach l'shem kach. Stam, let's say if you are my, I have a business, and you sit at the cash register and you're in charge of all the money. You work for me and you put the money. You control all the money. Instead of holding the money in my pillow and my mattress are stuffed already. I tell you, you take all the money from the business, my money, you stuff it in your mattress. So the money is in your house for me. You're ashamed of me. And then later on I say, you know what? He has a good idea to make a yeshiva. If I die, give him the money. So that person would say, that's no good. There wasn't hushlash mitchila l'shem kach. It has to be hushlash mitchila. If it's in my bank and I say, when I die, give it away, you don't apply mitzvah l'kam divrei ames. And even if it's not in tachas yodi, it's tachas yod chor. I tell you what to do also not. Only if hushlash mitchila l'kach. That's not the right from the Imam Bar Bas. Only if I gave the money for that specific purpose, if and when I die, give it away to Pliny. So that's the question. When we make out wills today, the last two, three centuries, people make out wills. You don't give the money over. You leave your money in your business and your savings account, whatever. You don't give the money over to anybody. So the money is not hushlash mitchila l'kach. And the Shulchan Aruch says that we pass from our locha like that Tosfos in Gittin. So the whole din of mitzvah l'kam divrei ames shouldn't apply either. So there's a tshuva in the Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion has two halakim. First chelik and the second chelik. Second chelik is called the Binyan Sion, tshuva is Binyan Sion HaChadosha. Tshuva is in the second chelik, as often as the case, are not as strong as the tshuva is in the first chelik. It's often the case. Most of the time that's the case. The person writes a few volumes of Shalom, the tshuva, so usually the first volume is at best. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes when people mature, so their latest form are stronger than them. So here the Binyan Tzion HaKadosh is in Simen Chav Dalet, in the second Chelek, he has a tshuva, very awkward tshuva. I'm not sufficiently familiar with the Sefer. I think in the before Simen Chav Gimel, or before Simen Chav Beis, in the Binyan Tzion, they have in tiny letters that the rest of the tshuvas in the Sefer are not halacha lemaisa, they're not that reliable because the author didn't check them over or something like that. So I don't know exactly what it means. Only on that tshuva and tshuva chav beis, I think it says that from the tshuvas from here on, they're not too reliable. So he has this very awkward tshuva in Simcha Avdala, and he points out that not everybody agrees to that opinion. And Tosfos themselves have a list of, there's a big fat in Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. There's only one answer in Tosfos. They only say mitzvah kaim dira meis of tushlus from tchilu l'kach. But in the Tosfos in Bava Basra in Perek Nishameis, next to the last Perek in Bava Basra, Tosfos presents the same kasha that they ask in Gittin, and they give that answer, but then they give several other answers. And there in Bava Basra and Nishameis, the other Rishonim also discuss the topic, and many of them don't accept that answer of the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Binyan Tzion says he doesn't think that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. We should paskin Allah that even if lo hushlish min chin l'kach is also good. What I mean, he doesn't think we paskin. We have a way to look how we paskin. Look in the Shulchan Aruch. We don't always have to look back and say, so the Shulchan Aruch says no machlech. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Chayish Mishpat, you only say mitzvah kam divra meis if hushlish min chin l'kach. So he stands on his head and he gives a whole pshat that the Shulchan Aruch only means that it's a sfeikah d'dina. And if the guy's muchzok, but it doesn't, it's really a suffix. It's not a vadai. But a pelvis, if it's a suffix, again, so the old man dies, and it wasn't hushlish from chilo lekach, and the money should be divided equally by the yorshim, and then one outsider says, all the yorshim are the muchzokim, and then one outsider says, this guy from Beit Gan said he wants $1 million to make his kolo, because I promised to give him the money, or whatever. So then they say, but it wasn't hushlish from chilu l'kach. So again, why not say, I'm waiting for the haray? If it's a suffix, either it's a vadai, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that you only apply mitzvah the kandir ha-meis when it's hushlash, or the Binyan Tzion makes it that it's a suffix. So it's a suffix, I'll blab my suffix. So again, say, I'm waiting for the haray. So what did he accomplish? How does he write that since it's only a suffix, so maybe the din is that you do say mitzvah the kandir ha-meis when it's hushlash. So again, how do you take it away from it? So it doesn't read straight. That shuvah doesn't read straight. There's a tshuva Nachi Ezer, Reb Chaim Oizer has a tshuva. He will often quote things from the Binyan Tzion. This tshuva he ignores. I'm not sure, you have to check, I'm not sure. I know he quotes from the Binyan Tzion from the first chelek. I don't know if he ever quotes from the second chelek. Could be he didn't have the Chadash. It's possible. But this tshuva he doesn't quote there. He just raises a different question in Nachi Ezer. He says, he used to wonder, what is the definition of Hushlish from Chila Lekah? Maybe making a secular will should be the equivalent to Hushlish from Chilu Lekach. Hushlish from Chilu Lekach may mean the following, that if I give you $1 million and I say, look, if and when I die, I want you to give this money to Pliny. It means that I gave you complete control over this money. If it's low Hushlish from Chilu Lekach, the money is in my bank, then you have to go get the money from the bank and go schlep and go decide to give it to him. So he writes, maybe to make a secular will, which the secular government will insist on following, maybe that should be the equivalent of Hushlish from Chilu Lekach, because there's nothing anybody you can scream and dance. The children can scream from today till next year. The government is going to give the money away to this guy from Beit Vikar, because I wrote in my will, that's what I want. So maybe whenever you make a secular will, that should be the equivalent of Hushlish from Chilu Lekach, even though in Matthias he didn't give over the money. But he says, he writes that he was thinking about the idea for many, many years, and he doesn't think that it's right. He doesn't think that it's right. That's what he writes in Achiyazah. He doesn't think that it's right. Then there's a collection, Achiyaza has three halachas. So far. Someone from the family is going to, from Chaim Oizer's family, I think one of the Kosovskis, the Kosovsky family is going to publish a fourth chelek of Achiyaza with additional truth. But before the fourth chelek comes out, there are two volumes that are printed in Bnei Brak that's called Kovet Digres Achiyaza. By the same people who printed the Per Ador, the biography of the Chazanish, so the same people printed this. But these are, this has a biography. One volume has a biography of Reb Chaim Oizer. Not that extensive, less than 100 pages. And then the rest of the volume and a half, the rest of the two volumes are a collection of letters that Reb Chaim Oizer wrote. So some of the letters are about halachas, and some are about politics, and some are about brachas, and some are hatamas, and some different interesting letters that he wrote. So he has there a letter in the Kovitz Igros Achiezer. He has a letter about Tzavos. So in the letter that he wrote, somehow he ignores what he wrote in his tshuva. In the tshuva he wrote that he thought about it for a long time, and he was noted to say that Mitzvah Kandei Vemeis does not apply. And here he writes that he thinks maybe it does apply. Mitzvah Kandei Vemeis should apply when you make a secular will. But then he writes, but that's of course only valid if the Gotra Din Teira later on, the guy from Beit Vegan goes to Bezen Shal Yisrael. Bezen Shal Yisrael looks in his will and you see that that was his request. And Bezen Paskin, that we have to observe his wishes and we have to give the $1 million for the guy who wants to found the yeshiva. But if they go to, that's what he writes. That's of course only, the mitzvah of the Kandiv Emes doesn't happen automatically. Rav Yechon ben Breik is then, that happens automatically. The father says, when he's a Shchidmeira, the father says that when I die, I don't want my three sons to get $1 million each. The one who sits and learns, he should get $2 million, and the other two should get $500,000 each. And then the father dies the next day. He was a Shchidmeira, dies the next day. So then you'll say, that's a Din Torah, it happens automatically. They don't have to go to a Din Torah that the Bezna has to pass. Din Torah is chal automatically. The Din Torah Rabbanon also is chal automatically. Is considered as if they made a kinyan. So even if at the time that the father is a shchimera, he says that you should give $1 million to the guy from Beit Began, who's not related at all, then he dies in Telchos Racholi, he dies before he comes out of that sickness also. That's a kinyan, that's chal automatically. But this the mitzvah, the Kandi Rameis, is a mitzvah. That's if you don't. With the Rabbanah. It's assumed, it's not a din deraisa. The Medrash comments on the pasuk by Yankov Levin and Parshas Vayechi. Mikan shemitzvah kandi b'ameis. Yankov left the tzavo. What good is it? What good? Make a tzavo from the day to the next. He has no tokir. From this pasuk we derive mitzvah kandi b'ameis. But the Meforshim and the Medrash say that it's only an asmachtam and the rabbanah. It's not really a din deraisa. So the Tesis says in Baba Basra, that fat Tesis that give the other answers on all the kashas that they had in Gittin, they say, yeah, there's a din mitzvah kandim ameis, but it's only a mitzvah. It's not that the din moment is nikna automatically, the moment the father dies, it automatically belongs to the guy from Beit Vegan. The mitzvah. So Rav Chaim Moser writes, yeah, you can just make a secular will, the mitzvah is there, possibly, and they have to go to Bezen Shal Yisrael, and if they'll say you should give the money over, then you have to give it over. So Dayan Grossmos has in his Shuvas, Lev Aryeh, Dayan Grossmos used to be a dayan in London, Bezen, and he retired about 10 years ago, I think, now 5-10 years ago, lives in Yerushalayim. An interesting thought. So he writes in his sefer in Chelik Beis and Lev Aryeh. He says, from the lashon of Rav Chaim Moser, it would appear that if they'll go to a secular court and the secular court will award the money to this fellow based on the will, that he won't have the fellow won't have the right to take the money. It's only if the Bezen Shal Yisrael will implement the tzavor of the old man. That's the way the Lashon sounds, Rav Chaim Moser's Lashon. The question is, why should that be so? It's very strange. Why does he insist on Shvidat Kebezen Shal Yisrael? There's a mitzvah Kamdi Rameis. It has to be that the Bezen should be kofer them ala mitzvah. If the Bezen Shal Nochem is kofer ala mitzvah, is no good. But Lamei said they were kofer that they should do the mitzvah. What's it? If the Bezen Shal Goyim is kofer a man to give a get to his wife, then the Mishnah says that it's no good. Unless the secular court beats the guy up and they put him in prison, whatever, they penalize him, they say, I say, Masha Bezen Shal Yisrael, Omim Lachor. They say, you have to give a get like the Jewish court requires of you. But then the Mishnah says that it'll be good. But if they say, we want you to give your wife a get, and then you give the wife a get, then the Mishnah says in Gittin that it's no good. Because a get needs midaita, a get has to be given midas abba. But the secular court forces, it's called a get balkar. But the guy didn't want to give a get. And the secular court pressures, and if they give him a get to his wife, so that'll be a get post. Unless they'll force, they'll say to the husband, we want you to follow what the Bezen Shal Yisrael says. I'll say, Mas Bezen Shal Yisrael Amaloch. Then it's called Makanos Hashem Aretzani. Then it's good. But what's wrong if the Bezen Shal Goyim, if the Yarkois, if the secular court forces the Jewish people to follow the mitzvah of Kamdi Rameis Vosses? Let's say the Bezen Shal Goyim forced the Jew to shake a lulav. So he says, not Yerzeh the lulav. You should go. They forced the Jew to shake a lulav on Sukkot. They say, he's not Yerzeh. Why? He needs that. Balkocha is no good. You don't need that. There's no din Balkocha. Unless he has Kavanah Shalom Lot says. But if he didn't have Kavanah Shalom Lot, what should be wrong? What's wrong? Mitzvah of Kamdi Rameis. It has to be Dafke. If they do it on their own, or if the Jewish court forces, what's wrong with the Goyish court forces? I don't understand. But that's what Dayan Grossman points out. Rav Chaim Moser, it sounds like he says that. I don't understand fully why.
Even the will works with Mr. Chaim, is there still a concern of father to write a will to change from this structure?
So that's the question. The Gemara has a klal Yimon Yesh Nechama says you're not permitted to be Mabinakla from your children. Even the Bra Bisho, the Bra Tava, even from a bad son to a good son. Yimon tells a story that Yonis and Benizil, I think, lived his Mana Bayis, lived in the days of Beis Hamikdash, and he Yonis and Benizil was a Tamil Atilo, so he lived in the days of Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says his son wasn't that observant, and he decided son doesn't deserve the money of the Yerusha. Son, he also taught him why he had $3 million to give you. And he gave all of his money away to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Gemara says all the time I'm angry at him, that even if it's Mibro Bisho, the Broad Tav, even from a bad son to a good son, you're not allowed. That it's not proper. There's a shiloh, what it means from a bad son to a good son. Let's say the son is not observant. Okay, so then you're not allowed to take away. But what if the son is mean to me? He curses the father and he's never respectful and he never comes to visit, not Father's Day, not Mother's Day, never. He lets me die and he puts me in a nursing home, not even that, whatever. Maybe then there's no aveira to be mavenach. That's a deal, and you have to look in Chayshin Ishma. That's a shiloh. But the Gemara says that it's not permissible to be mavenach. It's a violation. It's a violation of the spirit of the law of the Torah to be mavenachla. And the Gemara says, even if you're not the father certainly violates the aver. The Gemara says you're not allowed to assist an individual who wants to be mavenachla by signing to his will. This guy says he wants to be mavenachla. I try to explain to him that it's not proper, and he says he's going to do it anyway. So he's going to do it anyway. What's the difference whether I sign or someone else signs? The Gemara says no. You're not allowed to help out the fellow to be mavenachla. You shouldn't even sign to his will. So that's the question, is there a violation?
Is there a
problem? Is it Chal? Well, it depends. If he made it when it was a Shtei Merah, then sometimes it'll be Chal Menater, sometimes Chal Menarabah. He made a secular will, but then some say that that's called Bush Mishin Tzidah Lekach. Whenever he made it in such a way, he's Magdashit, then it will be Chal. He's Machnet away, then it certainly will be Chal. So if the fellow accomplished in a legal fashion, I'll pay Allah, and made a nice gehalten fashion, he thought to it that the children shouldn't get the full Yerusha that they're entitled to, so the Gemara seems to say that that's a violation of the din of Avor Yachasan. More than one-fifth of his assets. He's not allowed to give more than one-fifth. So the Gemara says, Hanamina Mechaim, Avalachamisa, he may give away to Tzedakah more than one-fifth. So the question is, what do you mean, Lachamisa, he can give away more than one-fifth? Because the whole reason why he shouldn't give away more than one-fifth is because Shelo Yayani Vi Tzarech Labrius. He's giving away so much Tzedakah, he's going to go broke, and then he'll have to take Tzedakah. So what is it? What's the Chachma? What is he accomplishing by giving Tzedakah to the others to make those poor people rich? He's going to become poor, so I'll have to give him back the stock. So he shouldn't give more than one fifth. But if you're holding by dying, so that's the end. So you're not going to need the money anymore. So your children, let them break their heads. But just like you had to break your head there in their living, so let them break their heads. You're not obligated. So the Gemara says in Ksubis that Lachami, so you may give away the stock and more than one fifth. So how does this stem with the other Gemara in Baba Basra that says you're not allowed to be Mavanach? So the sum of the answer is, it depends. If you give everything away to the Beis HaMikdash, then it's a violation. If you give a little bit away, instead of giving one-fifth, you give two-fifths, then there's not a violation. So the question is, where do you draw the line? How much are you permitted to give away to deduct, and how much are you not permitted to give? So it's interesting, just 2 months ago, Rabbi Yisrael Miller was asked to shayla by a balabas. A very wealthy balabas wanted to leave in his will a fortune of money to Yeshiva University, and his wife said, but no, isn't that against the Jewish tradition? Not allowed to be mavenachla from your children. The children were also millionaires. He was a multi-millionaire. The father was a multi-millionaire. So the shayla was, so the father, he asked Rabbi Miller, he wants to give the yeshiva as much as they'd like to have from him. But his wife says that we're Orthodox people, so we don't want to violate the laws of the Torah. So how much is he allowed to give the yeshiva, he'll give. Whatever he's not allowed to give, he doesn't want to give out there. So the Pesach Tshuva and Choshe Mishpat, Simi Reish Pei Beis, quotes the different opinions on it. So he quotes, the Ktois starts the discussion. The Ktois quotes the Tshuva Tagoinim, that if you leave 4 dinrim, good enough. 4 dinrim is enough. Leave $5 for your son. They leave $1.50 for your children. Now, where they dig up a four dimmers on Mishnah and Ksubas. That the Ksubas been indifferent, the Takonat HaChachama, Ksubas been indifferent, only apply if it's not Oikel Lagamri, the whole Yerusha. If at least there'll be a little money, that will still be divided the Yerusha amongst the children. But if there won't be any money divided amongst the children, the Yerusha Deraisa, then been indifferent doesn't take effect. Been indifferent means that if I had more than one wife, so let's say one wife had 3 children from one wife and one child from the other wife. So whatever money the wife brought into the marriage, whatever nadunya she brought into the marriage, I have to give back to her children after she dies. So you don't say that I now have all the money and the money is now divided amongst all the children equally. Whichever grandfather, let's say the girl's father, gave me so much money when we got married, so I have to make sure that that money goes back to his grandchildren, because if not, I won't give it back. So he won't want to give the money in the first place, because he's afraid I'm marrying myself another wife, and $1 million that he gave his daughter when she married me will go to some other person's children. He's not interested in giving money to other children. He wants to give to his daughter and to his son and to his grandchildren. And his daughter's going to die, he wants to go to his grandchildren, not to go to someone else's children. So the Gemara says that's the reason for Takana's Benin Dichon. So the Benin Dichon works as if it's a Din Yerushin. So the Mishnah says in the Ketubah that the din of the Benin Dichon only applies if it won't be Yoyki Yerusha Deraisa. So the Gemara says, how much Yerusha Deraisa do you have to have? A Pruta, Shavu Pruta. The Mishnah says, no, if you have four dinrim that are divided among the Yerushin, the Din Yerusha Deraisa, that's sufficient. So the Ketubah quotes there in Reish Pei Bei, says that in the Goinim they write in their Ketubahs that if this multi-millionaire has $100 billion in the bank, he can leave everything to the yeshiva, and if he leaves over $10 to his children, whether they're poor or rich, does not. He leaves over $10 to his children, that's sufficient. Other poskim disagree, and they say, no, you have to leave over rov to your children. You can only give away to tzedakah, or to give away to friends and relatives, whatever. You can only give away up until 50%, 49%. But you have to give slightly more than 50%, you should leave over to your children. If I'm not mistaken, in the introduction to the Sfarim Gesha HaChayim by Rabbi Chaim Lichot Tikhachinsky, the introduction was written by the son, I think. So he writes that his father wrote all the dinim of Avelus, and included in the Sfarim Gesha HaChayim is what you're supposed to do when a person is about to die when he's a Goyse. So he says, and when his father was about to die, he followed all of his own psukim. The father followed all of the things that he wrote in his own sefer. So he says, when he was about to die, I don't think he was such a rich man either. He didn't teach in Wayu. So the father left the tzavoy that they should leave so much money for tzedakah. He calculated exactly how much money he had, and he gave 49% away to tzedakah, and 51% he was going to leave the Yerusha, because he held the halacha, like those poskim, he has to leave 51% to the children. Then he told him, open the window, he's about to stop. And so on. All the other things that he has in his sefer, what he's supposed to do, which asked him, the person is a guy, so he told his son, do this, do that, as if he were reading from his own sefer on the poskim. He held from the sefer. And then the third opinion is the Chasam Sefer's Tshuva de Ramosha, and his Sefer holds like that, the Chasam Sefer Ramosha. And the last Igros Moshe, Chelek Chosha Mishpat, thinks the Chasam Sefer is right, that it doesn't really make sense to four dinrim in the middle of nowhere, even though it's Taka the Goinim, it's very difficult Tshuva. And he doesn't think that the 51% makes sense either. If he thinks I'm a multimillionaire, the 51% is going to be a fortune of money. If I'm a pauper, 51% could be a nickel. So what's that, 51%? Ruba Kukula, he said, Ruba Kukula, he said, Ruba back in Yerusha. So Ramosha thinks that the Chasam Sofer is really right. That if you leave a matona haguna to your children, you leave them a significant amount of money, so then there's no violation of Avuriyah Hasan to give the rest to anybody else. Then Ramosha goes ahead to give a whole calculation of has in these tshuvas. Could be, I don't know.
Wait, we accepted the land from what was done before?
Very strange. The religious Jews for many years have not been making tzavos oyz gehalt mal pidin. Many religious Jews just make a will with a lawyer following secular law, and they don't follow up in halacha. So the question is, what tokif does that will have? Apti pashtus, the will is gosh. Apti pashtus has no validity at all. So the question is, how is it? So Rav Chaim Reuser in the Igros, in his tshuva, he says he thinks it's nothing. In the Igros, he tries to be miyashiv the minhag ha'olam, which was that the religious people just made a secular will. So he thinks, well, maybe they really hold that this is called Hushlash M'chilu L'kach. But then even then, he thinks that it's only going to be acceptable if the Bezna Shai Yisrael will enforce it later. Neither of which part I understand. I don't understand what kind of a terrorist is it. He holds that it's not always gehalt. And then he said, why should he insist on spread Bezna Shai Yisrael? I don't understand.
Oh,
that's what I have to explain. So Moshe has another mahalach.
What about insurances? Sure.
I mean, originally he took out insurance and he wrote where he wants the money to go. That's certainly hushush mitchila l'kach. When l'chatchila he pays in the money, he says l'chatchila where he wants the money.
He doesn't know how much he's going to get in the end.
No, I would assume that that's certainly hushlish mitchila l'kach. He invested the money to miyuchad for that purpose, to give it to his wife or to give it to the children after he died, to give it to Pliny after he died. I would think that everybody would agree that that is hushlish mitchila l'kach.
If someone don't dispute, agree to follow the
that's okay. No, the father leaves the will, he wants that. If no one disputes it, it's not very nice that they should follow his wishes. The question is, if the one who loses to stand the money disputes it, he wants the money. He does not give it to Shiva Nirish. He wants to go to Time Blue.
There is no Easter when none of the children are in
the will. No, that is no sense. Ramosha has another mahalak. In the middle of a tshuva, in Chelek Eben Ezra, the first Chelek Eben Ezra, Simit Kuf Dalet, here you'll find it on page 11, in the Dayan Grosnos' tshuva, on the bottom of the page. He quotes Ramosha's tshuva in the Igros Moshe, Eben Ezra, Simit Kuf Dalet, and I go in Ha'adir Ha'ar, Ramosha Feinstein, he says, what tokev is a secular will? So Ramosha comes up with a new ansa. This is none of the above, a different mahalak. That we know, you learn in the yeshivas that you come across every so often the Gemara has a situation where someone is mocked and mum into somebody else and no Maisi Kinyan is needed. There's a Gemara in Pchoiris and Dafyid Gimel and a Gemara in Riyam de Baba Basra and Beis Kur and various Gemaras all over the place. So the Chazanish has a collection, the Chazanish quotes his father who made a collection of all these Gemaras, the Rashash and Pchoiris, Dafyid Gimel has a collection of these various Gemaras. Different Acharonim have. So Ramosha has in his paper also in Eben Ezra. Here in the sources on page 11, it's in Lev Aryeh, in the Tshuva of Dayan Grosnos, on the bottom of the second column. So he quotes, Reis to be safe for rigorous Moshe. The last paragraph on the bottom of the second column.
Last paragraph?
Right. Reis to be safe for rigorous Moshe. This page is page 11. In the top right hand corner, it says page 11. So if you look there in the Igros Moshe, I didn't see Rak that. He comes up with a new suggestion of why it should be binding. That we have so many different Gemaras that indicate that whenever there's a strong Gemaras Das, so then a Kinyan occurs without any Maisa Kinyan. So if the fella writes in his will and he gives it to the lawyer and he knows that this is absolutely, it definitely will be followed by the courts and there's no two ways about it. They're not going to cancel that will, they're not going to ignore it. So Ramosha says, "Ein l'chol gemiras das dola mizu," and we have so many different makaris in the Gemara that indicate that whenever there's a full gemiras das, then you can accomplish a kinyan without any maisi kinyan. So even if I have all these children of mine and I say I want all the money to go to Pliny, somebody on Gansa, not my son, and I'm not a shchimera, and it wasn't hushlash mitchila lekach, and nothing applies, none of the dinim in the Gemara applied. But once you make a secular will, it's so baruch Hashem es bat zaharim that it's going to be followed. So there's a perfect mirror. So that itself accomplishes the Chalois HaKinyan without a Maisa Kinyan. But the question is, but he writes in his will that I bequeath, I leave after I die, I leave this to Pliny. So he says he leaves it after he dies, so that's then Kinyan LaHamisa. So what good is that? Why has a cloud? You can say, fine, you can accomplish the Chalois HaKinyan without a Maisa Kinyan whenever there's a strong, perfect mirror, but the Kinyan can't take place after Nisan. So Moshe Tuzel Tachirish. When do you say in Kinyan LaHamisa that if I'm going to die 9 o'clock in the morning and my money goes birusha to my children, I want the Kinyan to take place at 9:30 in the morning? But if I say I want the minute that I die and the mama no longer belongs to me, I want that mama to belong to somebody else, and it goes from me to him, then it's tutu fachidish that you say yesh Kinyan LaHamisa. So that's what Dayan Grosnos writes, that that's very, very difficult.
So what if you say I want these teenagers to get it when they're 18?
And he dies before they're 18,
yeah.
Then Rav Moshe will say it's no good. Then it won't be good. Then we'll get to the next step. How do you accomplish that?
I said there's a mistake.
But even what Moshe said is also very difficult. That's what Dayan Grosnos writes on page 12. He says, "Mukhar divri agon tzrichen biur." Then he will be the ma'isikin. Yesh kan gemiras das mochlet is li ma'isikinian. Fine, that's okay. Avol ain kinyan lahamisa. So Moshe's suggestion that when it goes directly from me to the other person, then there's no violation of ain kinyan lahamisa. It's a pilei ploy. Says it's pilei ploy. It's against the Gemara. So all the Gemaras that discuss ain kinyan lahamisa are talking about that. That's the maduber in the Gemara, that it should go directly from me to the other person. Not talking that there should be a break of a half an hour or a day or two. And even when it goes directly, it's still no good. But the Pashtus is the Ramosha's suggestion also is not going to help. But the question is, if you don't accept any of the above, so how can it be that people just make wills and they assume that the money goes be Yerusha to that person? So some suggest that Dina Machlokes Dina. That's how the Maharit Sahalon has in his Chulin. There was a Maharitat and there was a Maharit Sahalon. These are two different people. He's not the Maharitat. The Maharitat is Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, who was the Rav in Constantinople. This is a different person. This Maharit Sahalon was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. He lived in Tzfat in the 1550s. He became famous as a young man, as a teenager. He became famous when he wrote his knockout Shuvah on Hilchos Chalitza, because the Beis Yosef had three sons, and the Beis Yosef's son was married to Rav Chaim Vital's sister, whose name was Simcha Vital, a girl's name. Well, yes, usually a boy's name. So the Beis Yosef's son died, and he left no children. So the wife had to have either Chalitza or Yibum. So the brother who was going to do Yibum already had a wife. He wanted himself another wife. He was inspired. He wanted to marry another wife. And the girl's father, Rav Chaim Vital's father, said he doesn't want his daughter to be second fiddle. He doesn't want his daughter to be a second wife. He wants Chalitza. He said he wants Yibum. He wants Chalitza. It was going on, I think, for 2 years. They were fighting about that Chalitza Yibum. So somebody gave the girl an eitzah what to do to force the husband to give chalitza. So she went into shul on a Thursday morning, I think it was. Hashem Chamishim Anela. She went into shul and she spit in front of him on the floor. The Gemara says, Yivama Shirachka Tachlot. The Gemara says that if Yivama did part of the chalitza ceremony is that you do Hasara Ta'amano, you have to recite the psukim and you have to do Rikika. She has to spit. The Gemara says, if Yivama did Rikika, that's part of the chalitza ceremony, but then it's already forbidden to do Yibum. And then you have to do chalitza, you have no brayer. So one of the rabbanim recommended that she should do rikika in front of everybody in shul, in front of the Beis Yosef's son, and this will force him to din. Now you're not allowed to do yibum, so what just to hold her is an aguna? You can't do yibum bein kol v'kol, there's nothing to discuss. But then they're going to force him to give chalitza. So there's a big machlokes. All the rabbanim from Tzfat were tumul, the rabbanim from Yerushalayim were tumul, get tumul. And they all said that he wrote the knockout Shuvah then, I think at the age of 17 or 18, and the Yalshev, he showed it to the Yalshev, and the Yalshev said he was right. Yalshev also lived in Tzfat. He was from the Zikni Rabbanim, and he said he was right, and even though he was right, that the whole Leitza was wrong, that they had no right to force him to give the Chalitza, the one who was the Rav then, these were Talmid Chacham, they weren't officially the rabbi in Tzfat. The Bezdin in Tzfat forced the guy to do the Chalitza. And then after he gave the Chalitza, they were still fighting whether the Chalitza was good enough. There's a whole literature now.
Who went
and did the Yivama. The Almana.
She
wanted to have Chalitza. Her father told her she should have Chalitza. She wanted it to be in public. The guy said, do it in public so everybody, he won't be able to deny that the Rikika was wrong. So they have Shuvahs and all the contemporaries at that time. So this Maharit Zalon was a colorful individual. So he has... So he has a tshuva where he discusses Dina de Malchus Adina with respect to Tzavot. On page 15 in the sheet. This is in the new edition of Tshuvas. Tshuvas Ma'arit Talon HaChadoshes. This is standard tshuvas that printed. And this is the Machon Yerushalayim edition that has the additional tshuvas that are printed from Ksav Yad. So he writes that there were many communities where they insisted that you follow Dina de Malchusa with respect to Yerusha. That's what all the Jews in America, that's what all the Jews in Europe did in the last century also. They just made a secular will on the assumption that Dina de Malchusa Dina applies. The problem is that in the Shulchan Aruch it says that it doesn't apply. Here, take a look in page 16 in these sources, in footnote 24, where the publisher writes, Rabbeinu Pasuk Bezek Hori Vosh. I don't know what he has to quote, it says like that. We don't pass like this, Rivosh. You don't apply Dina de Machlokes Dina when the Din Torah is between two Jews. Dina de Machlokes Dina only applies when it's between a Nachri and a Yisrael, or between two Nachri. But if there's no Nachri involved at all, we're talking everybody's Jewish. I'm Jewish, my children are Jewish, Jewish cause, everybody's Jewish. So what do I have to say? If I want to leave my money to the Rosh Hashanah, want to leave my money to the cat hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, or to the dog hospital in New York City? You want to leave to a non-Jewish cause? But then you can say dinim machus dinim. Since one of the bali dinim is enough, he has the right to say, I want to follow dinim machus. But if I'm leaving to a Jewish people, I'm Jewish and I die. I leave the money to Jewish people. My children are Jewish. And the guy wants to get the Yerusha, they're all Jewish. In conclusion, everybody's Jewish. So if no one is enough, he says, this is the fairish in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't follow dinim machus dinim. In fact, the Rambam and Tosafos in one place have an opinion that Yerusha is considered east of the Hetah. But you don't consider Yerusha dinim mamon. Even though it's only a matter of $1 million here or there, it's just an issue of dollars and cents. So offhand, you should really say that it's called dinim mamon. And if it's dinim mamon, then you should possibly apply dinim machus to dinim. Let's say according to the Rigosh, you apply dinim machus even if both parties are Jewish. So if the Rambam has in Hilchos Nachlis and in Hilchos Ishus, he writes in both places, even though Yerusha is money, but still the Torah declares it as isa behet, because the Chumash says, v'hoysa tos lachem l'chukas mishpat. And that's the parasha of Nachlis at the end of Chumash Bandidgor. So the Rambam says that it means this, even though it's Mishpat, even though it's dinim ominous, but it's labeled as if it were chukah. I consider it as if it's Isa the Het, and therefore the Rambam says, even though we have a klal, Master Masha Kosvatar of Davish and the Mammon to Noikayom, I don't treat Yerusha as a Davish and the Mammon, I treat it like Isa the Het. It could well be that according to the Rambam's view, it's not Shaykh the Chalal to apply even the Machlis of Dina to Yerusha, even if one would follow the Rigosh. Those parts of Mahod that it does apply between two Yisraelim, because it's like Yisra Behetah. So you don't apply Din the Machutza to the area of Yisra Behetah. Let's say that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's story, the rough story that he told years ago. He once was traveling on the train from Boston to New York, and he met a Reform rabbi. So he was going to sit on the train for just a few hours. So he started a conversation with the fellow, not going to sit and not talk to him. But he started to ask him, why don't they, he was angry at the Reform movement, why don't they insist on giving a get? They allow women to remarry without a get. It's terrible. The violation of the sinner from the Teres HaDikras and the Mada Mamter. He saw such a big problem that we have on our hands, all because of that. But he says, Rav said, the other rabbi told him, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm surprised you. You don't know that we had a convention in the year 1918, whatever it was, and we voted at that time. We all decided to follow Dina Machus Adina, the Lord of Land. The Lord of Land is to go to court and make a divorce. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, but so why are you Masada Kiddushin? Why don't you just follow Dina Machusa? Why don't you just get married by the justice of the peace? Then he said to him, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I'm surprised. You don't understand the difference when you Masada Kiddushin say a bracha. Obviously getting married is a mitzvah. So in the area of Isa Dehetha, you don't apply Dina Machusa Dina, but when you give a get, you don't say any blessing. So that's a right that it's just a legality. It's not a mitzvah. So therefore you have the right to follow Dina Machusa Dina. But the Rav pointed out that the principle that he said is correct. All the Kosovo said that, but you don't apply Dina Machus in the area where Nisa Dehet, it only applies in Dina Mominus. So just the application is a little distorted over here. That there's no, even though a get may not be a mitzvah, true, you don't say a bracha, it probably is not a mitzvah, some hold that it is a mitzvah, some hold you should say a bracha sometimes, but even if you say it's never a mitzvah, it's only a legality, but it's a legality in the area of Nisa Dehet, it's not in the area of Dina Mominus. And Dina Machus and Dina only applies in Dina Mominus. That the Rambam writes La Halach and Hilchos Nachlis and Hilchos Ishus, and the Tosafos and Siddur Dachnun also writes like that in one place. Dachnun that Yerusha is labeled as Isa Dehetah based on the drasha verses of Lachem L'Chukas Mishpat, even though it's Mishpat, it has the status of Chukah. We treat it as if it were Isa Dehetah. So then Bechlal Dina Mechus Adina shouldn't apply. So he writes here in the Tshuva Ma'aritza alone that the Jews in various communities, he tells you which communities here, used to just make a secular will. And several times the Rabbonim in Kuste, even in some other communities, but they just followed the secular law. And he says they sent, he tells you which Rabbonim they sent. The Rabbonim from Tzfas sent a committee, I forgot what page it was already, he says they sent a committee of several prominent Rabbonim to speak to the Balabatim there in this other community, Mallorca and other communities, that it's Kineged Adin, that we don't follow Dina Machus Adina. And they didn't listen. So he's at the end, he tries to be Miyashi. Well, maybe they follow that opinion of the Rivosh, they do apply Dina Machus Adina, but Allah Lamais, it's not always held. So Lamais, now we have a problem. If we should, let me just review the problem. If the fellow is 50 years old or younger when he makes his will, and he's not a Shrib Meirah, so the Din Derayt of Yaman Chilo doesn't apply, and the Din Derabbana of Yerush Chilo doesn't apply either. Mitzvah Kam Dira Meis Alpi Pashto doesn't apply because Dan Hushlash Mechilo Lekach either. Moshe Zayn found that the Kinyan can be chal without a Maisi Kinyan because there's a Gnir Das Mechletus, a Gemura. It's also very difficult, it's not really acceptable because it's a Gain King of Ahamisha. So we're left with nothing. And Dina Machlokes Dina also doesn't work. So you're left with nothing. So the Shulchan Aruch tells you how you have to do it. Now we're up to the punchline. Yeah. Yeah, that you're not allowed to take away from your children. That's good, yeah. Okay. That would be binding the top takon. But to give an amount of money, to give a minimum amount of money.
Right.
Let's say to give a percentage of money, let's say I have daughters and I'm a multi-millionaire, but to say that the daughters have to get equal to the son, that's already a leitlug in takana. I don't know if we would accept any leitlug in takana samadina.
Why would the dean want to be in itself according to the Rambam?
No, but if takana for Tovah Tamedina does work, like Hefker Bet and Hefker works whenever it's, let's say, still has been indifferent. Abal Yerushas Ishtar. So the Gemara gives reasons why they felt themselves interested in Abal Yerushas Ishtar. So since it's a good reason, so it's Tovah Tamedina, Takana Tamedina, so they can change even in the area, you can even change in the area of the Dinamon. But just to rely on a secular will, let's say he's going to wake out a will, then he's leaving all of his money to Slaini or to such an institution. So then Lechor, that Dina Machlokes should not be followed. Rav Chaim Moshe writes in the Tshuva Hatzol HaPurta, in the Achiezer, in the Tshuva he writes a little bit. He says, when do you say that you need Hushlash Mitchil Lekach? That's only if you're giving the money over to a private individual. But if you're giving the money to a doctor, then he thinks that you don't need Hushlash Mitchil Lekach. And he gives a Hushlash Mitchil why he thinks not. Okay, so here for the problem is solved. That if people leave in their will, a guy makes the will when he's healthy. He's not even a Shchimera at all. He's nowhere near the time that it's a Shchimera. So if he makes a will to leave money to Tzedakah, so that, Rav Chaim Moshe claims, would be binding based on Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes, even though it wasn't Hushlash Mitchil. Okay, but the question is, what if he writes in his will to leave to the daughter, to leave to the wife, more than the Ksuvah? The Ksuvah you have to give. What if he gives more than the Ksuvah? That's the question. There is an interesting letter in the collection of letters. Those are the last two pages here. The book is called Shadows of Tshuva Sefer Panav. Not really Shadows of Tshuva. Years ago, people used to send postcards to the Rav Shova. You used to have these fold-over postcards. You mail a postcard and you clip it together. So you mail a postcard to someone and he opens it up and he reads what you wrote and then he rips it apart on the perforation and then the postage is ready there and he sends it back. Years ago, it was a very common thing, that's now they hardly have it anymore. These are fold-over postcards. But the Rav Shova used to get loads of postcards every day in the mail. And if he would have to pay for the postage, he was broke. He would have had to go into high. He was broke. So they always used to send him these double postcards. And everybody wanted to get a letter from the Rebbe Shlomo. That was the thrill of every yeshiva bach in Europe. They had to get a letter from the Rebbe Shlomo. So everybody would send him any kasha, klutz kasha, or whatever. So but if they send him a klutz kasha, so he'd write down, you're a moron, an idiot. He would write this yainus. So everyone would try to write a good kasha. And even those who would check it out to make sure it's a good eisen kasha, that nobody, the best, the greatest gedolim would send them kashas. So he would write Mayatri Dene Kroida Ayan Taisis Kachulin Taisis somewhere he has the kasha. So he always used to try to check to make sure that nobody has the kasha, no Rishon, the Achronim he wasn't familiar with, no Rishon has the kasha, so it would be a good kasha, so they would have to, he would write a letter with Berkha. So this Shalas Chuvas HaMepanech has a collection of the letters. Most of them are not Halacha Mayim. They're kashas and learning, other things. So here's somebody has the Shaila. Halacha Mayim. Is it proper to follow Dina the Malchusa as far as giving the daughter Zirusha equal to the son? He says no. He gives a whole Shtikl Torah, why not? It's interesting, in the middle of the Shtikl Torah, he gives a bit of history. So he refers you to the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos. He refers you to a few Gemaras. One is in Shabbos Kuf Tezayin on the base, where the Gemara says that, I think Rabbi Gamliel passed away. Not Rabbi Gamliel passed away, the father passed away. Rabbi Gamliel with his sister were discussing who's going to get the Yerusha. So the Dina Torah is that Rabbi Gamliel gets. The son gets, the daughter doesn't get anything. Rabbi Gamliel's sister is married to Rabbi Leizer, I think. Rabbi Leizer Avora, no? He put him in Chema. So his sister came, so they wanted to make fun of the Goyish court, the Christian court. That's how the Rabbi Shav explains that. The Gemara there is talking about this man has solos on Notrim. They were going to make fun of the Christian court. So they came to the So the sister came to the judge in advance and she said, look here, when you're going to come tomorrow for a court case and I want you to give me half of the Yerusha, and here's Sheikhat. So she gave him a menorah or something, she gave him something, she gave him a donkey, I forgot, one of them gave a donkey, one of them gave him a menorah. And then Rabbi Gamliel went privately to the same judge and he said, look, tomorrow I'm going to come for a court case with my sister about the Yerusha. My father, make sure that you say, according to the Jewish law, that I get everything, my sister doesn't get anything because I'm the son. And here's Sheikhat, he gave me Sheikhat. And the next day they came to court, and they, the brother and the sister, had made up in advance. They want to show all the people in the court what a fraud the whole Goyishan court is. So the Gemara says that first he was going to award half of the Yerusha to the sister, because that is the Christian attitude, that they give equality to the women in Yerusha. And then Rabbi Gamliel said, hey, but don't you know the story about the donkey? He started being rambling about the donkey, so he said, oh yeah, I think you're right. I think we should award all the money to the man, because in Jewish law, the man gets. And then the sister said, but don't you know the story about the menorah? So he said, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm all confused. And so all the people, and then everybody started to laugh, and they explained to the people in the court what was going on, that they had both given him sheikhad, and they wanted to show the way the court, the judge was influenced by the sheikh. So the Gemara there says clearly that the early Christians used to give the, even though they followed many of the Din HaTorah, they felt that this Din of the Torah is unfair, that we have to treat the women with the equal rights as the men. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say years ago, that the idea of sitting together in the Reform and in many conservative synagogues comes from the Christians. They used to say for years, the family that prays together stays together. The early Christians were the ones who broke down the separation in B'Shas Tefillah between the men and the women. So they felt that this was their big bone to pick against the Jewish religion, that we don't give sufficient rights to the women. That's what it is today also in the Maaseh, the whole women's lib movement among the Jews also stems from the Christians, stems from the God. They hold that the Jewish religion doesn't give an equal rights to the women. Our religion was given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we assume there must be a good reason why he gave the Torah like that, that the women don't get Yerusha and so on and so forth. So the Rabbi Chavra also quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra, and Abkuf Tezvav, where the Gemara gets all excited there. The Gemara says that there was a dispute between the Sukkim and the Prushim, what's the din if a man dies and he had a son and a daughter? The din is the son gets the Yerusha, the daughter gets nothing. What happens if the son is not alive anymore, but the son left the daughter? So there's a granddaughter and there's a daughter. So the halacha is that the granddaughter gets all the Yerusha, the daughter gets nothing. Because the son yarshins the kever against the sister, against the daughter, and the granddaughter yarshins from the son, gets the kever. The Gemara says that the Tzedukim disagreed on that. They felt that that's not fair. Bad enough that the daughter doesn't get, and there's a son, but when the son is not alive, and there's a granddaughter, so the granddaughter should get, and the daughter shouldn't get. But they argued, Timur Shabbat, in Bas HaBen. It should only be fair that the daughter should get equal Yerusha to the Bas HaBen. So the Gemara says that there was a dispute that was raging for a long time, that many of these Tzuki Rabbonim, many of these Tzuki reverends, or rabbis, whatever we'll call them, these Reform rabbis, insisted on this Pesach, Timur Shabbat, and Bas HaBen, you have to give equal rights to the women, that was picked up from the Christians, that was their taina, that the son and the daughter should yarshin equally. That's the din by the Menorah, by the way. That's halacha by the Menorah, Rashi points out. That the b'chor doesn't get tishnai, and the daughter gets equal with the daughters get equal with the sons. So there are no children at all, so the sisters get equal share with the brothers. But by the dini hatar, it's not so, for some reason or another, some unknown reason. So the Gemara says that they made a yontif, that's one of the yontif in the Megillah's times, when the Chachamim succeeded in convincing the Hamonam not to follow the Tzukim on this issue, and not to give Yerusha to the daughter, what they saw, the route to cheat the daughter, they felt that this was a merit against the Masorah of the Torah. Not some that they're cheating in money, they're taking away money from someone like this, is a complaint against the Torah, that the Torah is unfair, that the Jewish tradition and the Jewish religion is unfair to the women. So they made one of the Amitavim of Megillah's Tainus was, that was to be celebrated every year, was when they were victorious against the Tzedukim on this issue, and they convinced everybody to follow the halacha that the daughter does not get equal Yerusha with the Bas HaBen. So the kitzi has a whole shuva here that you don't follow Din HaMachut. Din HaMachut doesn't apply to Yerusha. And certainly not to give the daughter an equal share with the son. So the shah of halacha l'mai said, what do you do? If none of the above work, what do you do? So you look in the Rambam, and so Shemish Ketzim Reish Pei Aleph Tiv Zayin, it gives you the solution. He says that it was always the practice that fathers wanted to leave Yerusha to their daughters. They didn't have so much money that they wanted to leave to their wives. The wife collected stuba anyway, which is a fortune of money. Today, the man is a multi-millionaire, so he would want to leave money to his wife as well, a significant chunk of money, over and above what she is entitled to get in time to stuba anyway. So with Mara Shochanach, they didn't have so much money, they weren't so wealthy, so they were only interested in leaving for the daughters a little amount. So their practice was they used to leave for the daughters half the amount that a son would get. People today might want to give equal. Sons and the daughters would get equal. Mana Ramor, they weren't so interested in giving equal. They only wanted to give Chatzi Zochan. So they had an institution that was called the Shtar Chatzi Zochan. And it was such a popular institution that they made a Rashi Tevis out of it. They talk so much in the halachic literature, they made a Rashi Tevis. Shin Ches Zayin stands for the word Shtar Chatzi Zochan. Shtar Chatzi Zochan means that the father makes a Hiskaivis now. Let's say he tells his wife, it's a very awkward situation, so we're going to polish it up for another couple of minutes. But he tells his wife, I'm a young man now, but someday I'm going to die. So if and when I die, I want you to get Yerusha, but you can't get Yerusha, and there's none of the Kinyona works. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to obligate myself to you. I plan by the time I die, I don't think I'll ever have more than, even though I'm going to teach him why, I won't have more than $50 million. So I want to give any money that I have to you. So he says, I want to obligate myself as Shibu that I owe you $50 million. And she gives him a handkerchief, a suder, and he says, by my receiving your handkerchief, the obligation is now legally binding. Yeah. So it's very unpleasant, very uncomfortable. So instead of talking to the wife, instead of talking to the daughters, it's very uncomfortable. So it's better to talk to your lawyer, get a Jewish lawyer, have a non-Jewish lawyer, so he cannot make the kinyan on behalf of somebody else. That's the principle of Zochni Yom Shloi Bifonov, and an Akum cannot do Zechi on behalf of anybody else. You have to have a Jewish lawyer. You go to your rabbi, go to any Jewish person, say, give me a suder on behalf of my wife, on behalf of my children, and say, let's say, I want to obligate myself to give my wife $50 million, which is going to be in excess of anything I plan to have at the time that I die. So the mailer, by the time I die, she's going to clean up the whole issue. She takes everything. So then I go to court. The court will not recognize that. The courts will not recognize an obligation. It's not an exchange for anything. If I bought merchandise, then I have to pay. If I broke your window, I have to pay. But if I just make a Kabbalah's Kinyan in the middle of nowhere, out of a clear blue sky, that I want to obligate myself to give $1 million or $50 million, then of course the court won't recognize. So to satisfy the purposes of the court, they make you secular will that you leave the whole Yerusha to your wife. According to the halacha, that has no validity. So you make a Kinyan. At the same time, make a Kinyan with the wife or with someone else who's another Jewish person representing the wife, Zalman Yom Shlag Afanov, that I owe my wife $50 million. So by the time I die, she collects everything. Or you can make a percentage. You can make whatever you want. The only thing is, when my wife finds out about this, she may decide that she wants to clean me up. Now, I just obligated myself to give it for $50 million, so that's not so smart. So I'll keep it a secret. What if she finds out the secret? So then they say in Shulchan Aruch, well, let's not, what if I divorce my wife? I'm not sure. What if I divorce my wife and I want to give the money to the second wife, so the first wife is going to get the money? So instead of saying I obligate myself to give $50 million to the wife, I obligate myself to give X amount of money to each daughter, a percentage of the money that I'll have in at the time of death to my daughter, any combination you want you can make. Instead of saying that, in addition to saying that, you say, I make a kinyan, I obligate myself to give my wife, but it should not be collectible immediately. You cannot make a kinyan through the lachazman. That would be called the kinyan. You can't make a kinyan through the now and have it take effect in another 20 years. Another 20 days. That's called Kolsa Kinyana. At the time that the Kinyan is taking effect, the Maisi Kinyan has disappeared and they're vanished into thin air. You have to make a Maisi Kinyan that should be Chal now. So I make a Kinyan Suda, it's Chal now. I owe the money to my daughter already now, but I owe the money to my wife already now, but it should only be collectible. Let's say if you lend me $100, I owe you the money now, but I have the right to hold on to the money for a year, for 5 years. So this is Mana Piron. So you say, I owe the money to my daughter, to my wife now. It should only be collectible at a later date. If you say it should only be collectible la hamisa, then it's also meaningless. Collectible la hamisa is by day, king la hamisa, it's not good. So you have to say it should only be collectible shor achas kodem misa. It should only be the wife or the daughter should only have the right to collect this amount of money the day before I die. The problem is that there's a minor problem with this. The problem being that we hold la locha ein breira. The more has machlokes, but yesh breira or ein breira. Yesh Breir, Ein Breir applies in two cases. It applies, number one, if I write a get, let's say, an easy example, I have two wives and I write a get, and it's unclear in the get which wife it's intended for. Let's say, Ksov get li, I have two wives, I'll make up my mind later which one I want to divorce. Let's say I have two houses. I say, I'll sell you either this house or that house, I'll decide tomorrow. whether I want to live in Eretz Yisrael or in New Jersey, I'll make up my mind tomorrow, whichever one I don't want will belong to you for $500,000. So the Gemara says that that's no good. But you say, ain't prayer. If at the time, if you want the kinyan to be chal tomorrow, then it's okay. But if you want the kinyan to be chal today, and a faith in Shayna Mavura, then you say, ain't prayer, you cannot be chal. The Gemara says more than that. Not only do you say, ain't prayer, you cannot have a chalois chal, and a dovah Shayna Mavura, if the nature of the chalois is unclear at the time that it's being chal, if the zman ha-chalos is unclear at the time that it's being called, it's also no good. I say, I want the zechus to collect this obligation that my wife and my daughters have. They should only have the right to collect it an hour before I die. So they don't know an hour before I die. I'm going to be a geisus for a couple of days, let's say for 3 days. And then they'll think any minute it's an hour before I die. So they won't know till an hour later that an hour ago they had the right to collect the money. So the question is, you ought to say, ain't braver there. Did you come out that the right to collect only came into existence after I die? That's when it's mavura. After I die, so you know they have a right. They have the right to collect. Ain brayer. We can't say huvra hadovah l'mafreya. So not only do you say ain brayer as far as the nature of the halos, that the get is written today the shmoa of whom? This wife or that wife? So I'll say I'll decide tomorrow, and my decision tomorrow should take effect retroactively on behalf of which wife the get was written. So you can't say huvra hadovah l'mafreya. I'll decide tomorrow which house I want to sell you, the house in Arizona, the house in New Jersey. So if I say I'll decide tomorrow the kinyan should take effect tomorrow, that's nicha. At the time that the kinyan is taking effect, it'll be mavura. But if I want the kinyan to take effect today, it's January 1st tomorrow, so for tax purposes, whatever. I want the kinyan to be chal today. But I'm going to make up my mind tomorrow which one should be chal. So the Gemara says, ain't prayer. You can't say the kinyan is chal now if it's any mavura, the nature of the kinyan. What house are you selling? So the Gemara even says further, the Gemara Gittin says, if I say, hareza gitech shoachas koedim yisosim, I give my wife a get, and I say, the get should take effect an hour before I die. So you don't know what an hour before I die is going to be till I die. Then you're going to say, oh, now I know that it's 1:30 the get was called. But the get wasn't called 1:30. At 1:30 you didn't know that it's an hour before you die. You don't know till he actually dies at 2:30. So then the Gemara would say, ain't brave, that it's not called. So here, that's the problem also. Shouldn't that pose a problem? I say, I make a Kabbalah's opinion, with the Jewish lawyer, let's say with the rabbi, that I owe $50 million to my wife and $10 million to each one of the daughters. And the sons get the rest of the fortune that I have. They get everything else. But I don't want them to collect now. So I say, shouldn't be collectible till Lachamis. Collect Lachamis is gone. So they don't collect the penny. They don't say anything else. I say, no. Should only be collectible Shoachas Koidim Isos. So you don't know. The Shoachas Koidim Isos, you don't know yet that that's the Shoachas. Till he dies, then you know retroactively that was the Shoachas. So shouldn't we say Ein Breire? And they didn't get this clue to collect until after he died, and then it's zero. So the whole Eitzah is gone. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it is good. We accept it. Even though we hold the Ein Breira, we accept it. Why? But that's based on the Ran and the Doran. On Daf Mem Hey, at the end of Amud Beis, the Ran has a famous comment where it's a gigantic Ran. A lot of the Rans are very big in the Doran. So the Ran explains that when do you say Ein Breira? It's only if an essential aspect of the Chaloi is Ein Mavura B'Shat Nais. The get is written today, Lishmo. You don't know the Shmo of this girl, the Shmo of that wife. You don't know which wife. Or let's say he's going to propose either to this girl, to that girl, is going to be Mekadosh B'Shtar. So he writes the Shtar Kiddushin, Hariyad Rachel Mekadosh, so he doesn't. He didn't decide which Rachel, whether this Rachel, the Rachel from California, or the Rachel from New Jersey. He didn't make up his mind which girl he's going to marry yet. So that's a Shtar Kiddushin, that's Nichtav, Shalom the Shmo. You can't say Yesh Brev. Or you give a get, and you want to get to Bichal Shachas Kenim Yisrael. So that's a major aspect of the Chaloi. When is the get taking effect? But here, the Shibut Maman I owe already now. I don't say the Shibut should only come into existence the hour before I die. I already owe you the money now. The only thing is the Schus Egviya is a major aspect. If you owe money and you have no Schus Egviya, so it's not worth too much. But still, it is an important aspect, but it's not the major aspect. So the Choshemish Patas Meglaloch, you know, you can think of
the major aspect is what you're giving.
Right, so since the amount is clear. And the chiyuv was chal already now. Everything is clear. The only thing is, when exactly does the other person have right to demand the money from me? See, if the other person, if my wife and my daughters wouldn't demand it, I would pay on my own. I can pay on my own before I'm holding by dying. If I pay on my own, the payment will be, the chobah will be paruah. Just because you have no specific bid, doesn't mean you can't make it piruah. You can make it piruah. But if they want to demand the money, so they don't, so the right to demand the money is not the major aspect of this chalois of the hishchayis. But therefore, we say here that yesh brayer.
This is not changeable though. Some people say, or if this wife is
this can, he can, whenever you make a halal, if that's not going to take effect till later, so you can always change your mind until it's halal. So let's say the fact that I owe the money to my wife and to my daughter, that's irreversible. But the fact that they have the right to collect it only an hour before I die, so any time before the hour before I die, I can say I don't give you the right to collect it. So if I'll be a nice guy and I'll pay it, so I paid it. But then if I drop dead, I rescinded their right to collect it before they got their right.
But isn't that awesome?
No, perfectly legitimate. Let's say I sell you a house, and I write in the shtar the house should belong to you as of March 1st, and it's not yet March 1st. So if I back out before March 1st, you don't get the house. Let's say I'm the Kaddish and Isha, I give a ring, I give a get, I want the get to be Chal March 1st. If I back out, or she backs out from the Kiddush, the get, you can't back out. Get the ring about
something. What you would
right, so whatever was pushed off, I can back out from. So I can back out from the Spuz Giyah. So true, after I back out from the Spuz Giyah, the Chov is still left. Still owe my wife the $50 million, and I owe the daughter the $10 million, whatever. And if I'll pay them, it'll be parua. My children, my son won't be able to have any kindness, they won't be able to ask for the money back. But if I don't pay them, and I die, then the daughter or the wife won't have any kindness. There's a Chov, but they have no right to collect the gift. So they have no right to collect it, so the sons will maintain the Yerusha. My second wife will get it.
One
first
minute.
Wife won't be able to have any Spuz Giyah. If I backed out before the Spuz Giyah came to fruition, that's called Asi Dibam Vatalibu. Whenever you make Chalois Lachazman, you can reverse your Das before that Zman comes. Sometimes there is Mishapara, sometimes not. Mishapara is when someone paid for something.
Yeah.
Here, I don't think there'll be a Mishapara. If I divorce my wife and I marry another wife, I don't think there'll be a Mishapara. Or if I decide I don't want to give my daughters because they're married to multimillionaires, their husbands are rich, I don't think there'll be a Mishapara. Mishapara, they normally have in a limited case. When someone pays for something and I back out, but that's not fair. You pay? On behalf of the Kotan? Yeah, that's a machlokes in the Mishnah, in the end of Baba Batra, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Whether you can do Zachli Adam Shlomo Fonov on behalf of the Kotan, we paskin yes. We paskin yes. You cannot make Zachli. He cannot, if he's a Bardas, it's a machlokes, the Ramam and the Raivin, in the end of Hilchot Mechira. Can a cut make a Kenyan suitor? Other Kenyan name that cut Mishah Higiel Onis Aputis can make. The Kenyan suitor is Machlech. The Ramah's Kenyan suitor he can't make. But someone else makes the Kenyan suitor on his behalf, that's legitimate. That's perfectly legitimate. So that's how you have to do it. You have to encourage all of the lawyers, all the religious lawyers, that when they make a Tzavua for Jewish people, it's a very easy thing, 1, 2, 3. If I'm not mistaken, the rabbinic alumni office upstairs has forms, to fill, very simple forms to fill out, to document these ischaivis. You can make this ischaivis like the shtar also. I fill out a document, I sign my name, I give over the shtar to a rabbi to hear, or to the Jewish lawyer to pick it up to be zeichet the kinyan shtar on behalf of my wife, on behalf of my children. You can do it, the shtar or the kinyan suit. It's very easy. And the lawyer should put this document in the file together with the secular will, so that later on they'll know that it does your house not be
this. Is this just for giving it to somebody else besides your sons?
Unless he wants to change the Yerusha, unless he wants to give not the amount that the Torah says he should give, and he's not yet Shechid Meira, so then it wouldn't work neither in Atar Noam and the Rabban, then he would need this again. Okay.